Let's start our class time this hour with a prayer. Mighty Father, we approach you tonight as not only our Father, but as the mighty God, creator of all, with whom all things are possible. Please, Lord, as we spend this time together as your people tonight, help us to remember who you are, the wonders you've worked, what you've done for mankind, what you've done for your people, and what you've done for each of us in our own lives. Help us, Lord, to put out the distractions of this world from our minds, our individual cares, and help us to be present right here and in mind and not just in body. Help us to learn and to grow so that we may teach the lost, encourage each other, and glorify you in this place. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for the relationship that we can have with you as our Father through Jesus, your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
All right, good evening. We're going to begin our service tonight with some hymns. We're going to have a couple of talks, and some of our young men will read scripture to us. So we're going to do a lot of singing and some scripture reading tonight, and I hope our service is edifying to all of you. Let's begin with Agnus Dei, who will be up on the screens in front of you. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name.
learn a song with you tonight, How Great Is Our God. We'll sing just the melody together, so try to all sing that in unison through the first verse. And I think by the time we've done that, you'll all have the tune. It's pretty simple, although the rhythm is a little bit modern, so let it flow and enjoy it. We'll stop at the end of the first verse, we'll reset to the first slide, and we'll sing it all through together. So it's a pretty simple song. I think you'll find it wonderful. It's a great praise song of glory to our God. So enjoy it with me as we worship God together. For the first verse through, and then we'll pick it up to the regular speed for the second verse. Do mi sol, the splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, it trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Psalms chapter 115, verse 16.
The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any of those who go into silence. But as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men, this psalm says. It has been my practice around the first time of each year to look back at all the amazing stories that have made up the last 12 months. Scattered among the bad news stories that shock and surprise us, there are always powerful achievement stories that make me marvel at the brilliance of man that and what God has allowed humans, the capstone of his creation, to accomplish. And while I'm tempted at times to look at how corrupt people are becoming, it's very faith-building for me to look at the great goods that are being accomplished every year at the hands of humankind. Here are some examples. Did you know that in 2018, scientists discovered a brand new organ inside of the human body? It's called the interstitium, and it's all over your insides. It's between your muscles, it's around your veins and your arteries, it lines your digestive tract, it surrounds your lungs and your urinary system. The interstitium is a fluid-filled space that runs pretty much throughout your whole body. And although scientists can't yet tell exactly what the function God intended for this new organ, it gives a little bit of insight for why, for example, cancer might come into one side of your body and then spread through to your lymph nodes, right? Because this interstitium pretty much connects your entire body. Scientists were only able to find it this year because the interstitium collapses and becomes almost indistinguishable when you cut it. And it took a very precise imaging technique for them to see it through the skin without ever excising or cutting the skin, because as soon as they cut it, it disappeared. So let me summarize this. A microscopic disappearing organ that is more pervasive than the circulatory system, and that we are just now beginning to understand the full function of, and we only know a tiny bit of it, was discovered this year. Well, what an incredible find. Here's another thing that happened this year. Man used DNA evidence provided by a genealogical data sharing website called GEDmatch to discover the identity of a man named Joseph DeAngel. And if you follow the news at all, you'll know that Joseph is the Golden State Killer, a serial killer that evaded capture for years and years. He was never, ever discovered by the police until someone started this GEDmatch website. Now, here's how this works. Anyone can submit their GEDs, their DNA sample to this website, and people will use it to build family trees. Well, the police departments and the FBI have started using this database to try and identify previously unidentified DNA specimens that exist in their labs. And if they can identify that DNA specimen and tie it to someone who voluntarily contributed their DNA specimen to a website, they can identify down to the family level a previously unidentifiable person. So think about how remarkable this is. Because of the amazing impact of social media and the sharing of people's DNA on that website, a man who committed great atrocities many years ago was isolated down to the family level out of millions of possible suspects. And then good old-fashioned detective work helped identify who he was. And he was put away this year, a killer taken off the streets because of the amazing technological advancement of GEDmatch. It's an extraordinary achievement that happened this year, and it spells all kinds of amazing possibilities for the advancement of the human species. A third, we found signs of liquid water on Mars this year. Now, none of you are gasping with surprise, but that's a really big deal. Here's how this went down. In July, the European Space Agency's Mars Express spacecraft received radar data from 33.9 million miles away that suggests that on Mars, there's about a 12.5-mile zone of liquid water that exists in the south pole of that planet. And Mars, by the way, is about 140 million miles from us on average. It changes depending on where we are in our orbit around the sun, but that's about as far away as that planet is from us. And we found, because of this satellite data, a 12.5-mile zone, which is likely water. And we're really excited because this might indicate that man can finally go live on Mars and have liquid water to drink. Now, let me go quickly summarize all the facts I just gave you again. Humanity's Space Express aircraft pinged data from a radar located 33.9 million miles from the surface of Mars and discovered a tiny, by relative comparison, 12-mile-wide zone of water in the southernmost part of a planet that's 140 million miles from us. And we're all really excited because now we can go live on Mars. That's the idea behind this. This is an awesome achievement for humankind. And it's one of the things that was accomplished in 2018. Maybe some of you heard about that. Imagine the achievements that culminated to give us that incredible opportunity. All the years of science, all the years of research that culminated in that great event. Really imagine all the culmination that resulted in all the culmination of knowledge and research that resulted in all of these three events that I've discussed with you today. These three 2018 discoveries are built on thousands of years of compounded knowledge of men and women. Using the skills and abilities bestowed on us by our Creator, we have explored the depths of the deepest oceans. We have summited the highest mountains. We have sent robots into far-flung places of our galaxy. We have untapped the pent-up potential of silicone and diamonds and rock and metal to create computers, right? And those computers that exist in our pockets and on our watches and that power the most sophisticated power plants and hospitals in the world and the air conditioning in our home that make Florida inhabitable. All of this resulted from rocks and stones. And we have found that and discovered it. What an incredible accomplishment. We have created cures for humanity's greatest diseases. We have come to rescue the world's greatest humanitarian crises. Both of these things resulting in millions upon millions of lives saved because of humans' achievements. We have built centers of learning so that the future generations can continue to build on what they have discovered. And we have preserved history so that we never have to forget where we came from. All of this human potential has come to us from our God. He has created us, according to Psalms 8, to be a little lower than the angels, and has crowned us with glory and majesty. He has charged us with the responsibilities of using our talents to His glory in this world. And whether or not the world chooses ever to recognize it, that's exactly what we have done. Every technological advancement, every biomedical discovery, every awe-inspiring feat of human endurance or performance that you can download on YouTube is an ear-splitting praise song that resounds to the magnificence of our Maker. Sir Isaac Newton in 1676 quoted Bernard of Chantres by saying that those of us who are living today are like dwarves perched on the shoulders of giants. And thus, we are able to see more and further away than the latter. And this is not at all because of the acuteness of our sight or the stature of our bodies, but because we are carried aloft and elevated by the magnitude of these giants. I say that if we see further than our ancestors, or these giants, as Newton so humbly called them, it is by standing in the hand of God that we accomplish such things. And He asks for nothing in return other than we glorify Him for it. Today, we stand in a more exalted position than any man, woman, or child has ever stood. We're lifted high by the hand of God, and with God-blessed achievements of our ancestors holding us high, we are called to do even more for Him in 2019. So let me ask you, how will you respond to this calling this year? What will you do with your gift of life? What will you do with the five talents that you have been given this year? And even more, does it thrill you to think about what your fellow man, the Christians sitting around you, the boys and girls sitting in the pews beside you, does it thrill you to think of what they will accomplish? Have you considered what marvelous feats of greatness the men and women and children sitting beside you might achieve this year with God's blessing and in God's perfect creation? Are you almost breathless as you consider the scientific and technologic and economic and humanitarian achievements that the boys and girls sitting around you might have a hand in? And do you delight in knowing that every accomplishment that we will accumulate will rise up as a clear and resounding praise to the power of our God? The world may not choose to honor God or give thanks. Romans 1 tells us that. It assures us that most won't. But we know the truth that through the goodness of our God this year, many good and wonderful and awe-inspiring and amazing things will happen, and humankind, God's creation, and even some of you will be instrumental in it. And I think that's wonderful. The Hallel Psalms are found in Psalms 113 to 118. History tells us that they are quoted by the Jews during the most holy celebrated event of Passover. And they're quoted, they're celebrated and read during other important times in the Jews' calendar as well. They're read around the table of the Jews. History even suggests, tradition suggests even, that the hymn that Jesus said with, sung with his apostles before he left the Passover, after he left the Passover feast on the night in which he was betrayed, was quite possibly the Hallel Psalms. They are the Psalms of praise to God. Psalms that remember God's great deliverances for them. Psalms that mock God's enemies. Psalms that look to the future, full of God's promises, and glorify him for them. Psalms that plead for God's deliverance, that call other nations to worship him, that express thanksgiving for his loving kindness. They are a wonderful body of psalms. And tonight, we put these psalms into the hands and mouths of our future. Some of the young men who will carry the banner of God long after many of us are gone from this world. They will build on our accomplishments and will carry the message of God and the magnificence of his creation forward into the future. And with God's help, they will accomplish even more than we. As they read the Hallel Psalms tonight for us, I would love you to take some time to delight in the potential for good that exists in this world. That in our God who gives us the victory, who gives us a hope and a future and preserves our lineage through mankind, who puts power into the hands of men and women and asks us to do great things with it. Consider what great things he will continue to do in this world in 2019. Through the hands of boys like these, through the hands of many other boys and girls who will not stand up tonight. And yes, through the hand of you. How great is our God?
Tonight I'm going to read through Psalms 113. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with the princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord.
Psalm 114. When Israel went forth from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, and the Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. What ails you, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back? O mountains, that you skip like rams? O hills, like lambs? Tremble, O earth, before the Lord, before the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of water.
Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nation say, "Where is their God?" O God in the heavens, he does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The heavens are of the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dew do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
I'm going to be reading from Psalms 116 and 117. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol lay hold on me. I suffer distress and anguish. Then I call on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous our God, and righteous our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple when I was brought low. He saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows on the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious is the sight of the Lord. Precious is the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in his presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Psalms 117. Praise the Lord, O nations, exalt him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithless of the Lord endure forever. Praise the Lord.
Psalm 118. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me, and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me, yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It was marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
Not to us, O Lord, not to us, says Psalm 115, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that pleases him. And there is the rub. It is easy when we look at the exaltation that we find in God's work in us when it accomplishes for us bliss and unity and satisfaction and fulfillment, and we can see it laid out before us in our families and in our companions and in our personal accomplishment. And Peter talked about the great human potential that God has given us. It's because he has given us that spark of creativity, that God-likeness that allows us to do great things. But the psalmist says there are times when the world looks at us because of what's going on in our nation, in our lives, and says, "Where is your God?" And our answer to that question is, he's in heaven and he is accomplishing the works that he wants to accomplish. And Peter led the song earlier that quotes from the book of Job. You give and you take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The much more difficult task that we have is to sing a song of ascent, a song of praise and acknowledgement and glorification to God when he is accomplishing his purposes in us and it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel like exaltation. And we don't have an answer to the question, why? The Apostle Paul, when he talked about his ministry, said this in the book of 2 Corinthians. He said, we take this message to people, and it doesn't always result in what seems like glorification for us, but it does result in glorification of God and in the spreading of the truth. He says, beginning in chapter 4 and verse 5, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. And make no mistake about it, when Paul uses this poetic language, he's not just being metaphorical. Because in other places, he tells us what that looked like in his life. He said, listen, it's shipwrecks and starvation and getting bitten by snakes and thrown into the water and getting stoned to death and living with thorns. But we did it so that you could be saved and so that God could be glorified. And we are delighted to be vessels for God's glory. Like Job, never having an answer to the question, why did this happen? And what will ultimately be the result? He says, in much harsher terms, in the book of Romans in chapter 9, that God is going to use us for whatever his purposes are, sometimes for honorable use and sometimes for dishonor. He says, we can look back at those Old Testament stories and ask, why did he deal with the Egyptians in that way? Why did he deal with Pharaoh in this way? Why did he deal with Jacob in that way? Why did he deal with Esau in that way? And was that fair? And the only answer that Paul gives to that question is, how dare we even ask that question? What should we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this purpose I've raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whomever he wills, And he hardens whomever he wills. And you'll say, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will that which is molded say to its molder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory? And I know what you're thinking right now. Well, Pharaoh was a bad guy, and so of course God used him for dishonorable use. But there are Christians all around this world, even today, who are suffering great persecution for their faith. Not only in China, but in here. There are people who have lived lives of shame and dejection and despair and who are doing all that they can to hold on. And they'll never get an answer to the question, God, why did you give me this life? Why'd you give me this family? Why'd you give me these circumstances? I had no control over it. What are you going to accomplish? What is your will for me? And the difficult part is, I don't have an answer to that question, except this. Faith in God is to say, I believe that what you're doing in my life right now, as nonsensical as it may seem to me, brings about your glory and ultimately salvation for as many as possible. And I will let you use me as you will, as much as maybe it hurts sometimes, and I will trust that in the end, you are bringing about my glory as well. We're going to sing a song called Glory. It's maybe a little bit less well known to us, and so we're going to spend just a moment learning it. It's one of the songs that we're going to sing in the In His Presence singing in just a little while, and so I thought it would be good for us to go over it. It's a simple song, chorus and verse, chorus, verse, and then a key change. We sing the chorus again, but I think it will be fairly intuitive. Let's sing through the first time through the chorus is just unison, so we'll sing that. Then the chorus again breaks into parts, but let's sing the chorus in unison again, and then the verse in unison, and then we'll go back and we'll add the parts the second time through. So let's just go through chorus, chorus, verse, all in unison, just the melody, the first time through. No so. No so.
Glory to the King of Kings. Majesty, power, and strength to the Lord of Lords. Glory to the King of Kings.
text, let's sing Here I Am to Worship. I forgot my glasses, so if I stop and squint at you, just keep singing. Do mi.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am.
Savior, the hope of nations, Savior, he has.
Oh, how he loves you and me.
Lo so.
One more song before the invitation, What the Lord Has Done in Me. Let's go ahead and stand up for this song. No.
Let the weak say I am strong.
Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. Idols. Idols made of silver and gold. Idols made of wood overlaid with silver and gold. Idols made of stone. They have eyes that don't see because somebody carved an eye in them. They have ears that don't hear because somebody carved an ear. They have noses that don't smell because it's just carved in there. But he says that all who trust in them become like them. All who trust in them end up with eyes that don't see and ears that don't hear and noses that don't smell and hands that don't feel and feet that don't walk and throats that make no sound. Have you ever seen anyone like that? Have you ever seen anybody that had eyes that couldn't see, ears that couldn't hear, nose that can't smell? Actually, probably most every one of us has. Because the place where we see that person is at a funeral, in a casket. A person with eyes, but those eyes don't see. Ears, but those ears don't hear. Nose, but that nose doesn't smell. Hands that don't feel, feet that don't walk. Because they're dead. And that's the problem with idols. Despite the promises, despite the pleasures, they are dead. And the only thing they can offer is death. And ultimately, that is far as you get when you follow an idol. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Trust in the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is living. And when you trust in the Lord, what you get is life. But in our day and age, the idea of trusting in the Lord has in mainstream religion kind of become this very nebulous, esoteric, ethereal kind of, I like Jesus, I love Jesus, he's a great guy, I think in the end he'll save me. But that's not what we mean when we say trust anyone else, ever. When I say that I trust my doctor, that means when he gives me a prescription, what do I do with it? I take it, right? Because I trust the doctor. When I trust someone, I don't just kind of think they'll take care of things. When I trust someone, I do what they say. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. I'll tell you what he didn't say. He didn't say, repeat this prayer after me. He didn't say, pray through to salvation. He didn't say, have a moment of faith. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Will you trust in the Lord? If you haven't trusted in the Lord yet, we invite you to do that tonight. We're going to sing about a home of the soul. If you want to be in that home of the soul, we invite you, trust the Lord because he is where life is. Do what he says. We want to help you do what he says tonight. If we can, please come forward right now. We're going to stand and sing. You can come forward.
For the price he has paid.
Thank you.